Today, the US housing market is cooling. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In the US, the Fed's rate tightening has led to the economy showing signs of cooling down, such as the housing market. The NAHB Housing Market Index fell for the 10th straight month, dropping to 38 in October, down from 43 in September. And new home construction declined in September, and permit applications for single-family dwellings fell, adding to evidence that the highest mortgage rates in two decades are sapping demand and discouraging new builds. Residential starts decreased 8.1% last month to a 1.44 million annualised rate, according to government data released on Wednesday. Single-family home building dropped to an annualised 892,000 rate. That's the slowest since May 2020. Construction of multi-family dwellings also declined. Applications to build, a proxy for future construction, did rise to an annualised 1.56 million units, led by multi-family properties. And permits for construction of one-family homes fell 3.1% to a more than two-year low of 872,000 in September. The housing market is bearing the brunt of the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes as they aim to free the economy from stubborn inflation. The real estate sector is especially susceptible to rising borrowing costs, and the Fed is projected to push ahead with another 75 basis point increase in early November. I highly doubt that we're nearing a bottom in housing starts, Stephen Stanley, chief economist at Amherst Pierpont Securities, said in the note. There is most likely more pain to come. Home builder sentiment has declined every month this year and is now at the worst level since the early days of the pandemic, according to data from Tuesday. An S&P Super Composite Index of builder stocks has slumped by 35% so far this year, compared with a roughly 22% drop in the S&P 500. The slowdown in demand this year, compared with consistent hiring, has led to some easing on labour constraints for builders. Construction payrolls are at their highest since 2007. And the government's report showed greater home building progress as well, with the number of houses completed rising to a four-month high. Groundbreaking fell in three of four regions, led by a 13.7% drop in the south as fewer multifamily projects were started. In the west, new construction of single-family homes plunged 15.8% to the slowest pace since April 2020. Existing home sales for September will be released on Thursday, followed by new home purchase data next week. And partly as a result of this, the Dow slipped on Wednesday as rising Treasury yields put the squeezes on tech stocks, overshadowing upbeat quarterly results, which were perhaps pointing to a better-than-expected earnings season. The day that marked the 35th anniversary of the equity crash saw the market halting a back-to-back rally, making any calls for an immediate bottom look elusive. To Nicholas Coas at DataTrack Research, a more durable advance would require a backdrop of stabilising yields, which was the setup for the two-month surge in the S&P 500 that started back in mid-June. That seems like a tall order, given that the Fed policy remains tight and bond rates are stuck at such high levels, he said. Treasuries saw a renewed wave of selling, spurred by firmer global inflation readings, corporate deal hedging flows, and a poorly received US 20-year bond auction. The two-year yield jumped to the highest since 2007 as traders pushed expectations for the peak policy rate closer to 5% from a current range between 3 and 3.25%. Fed Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari said that the central bank could potentially pause its rate increases at some point next year if policymakers see clear evidence that core inflation is slowing. However, he made it clear that he sees no evidence yet to give him comfort that core prices are moderating. And his St. Louis counterpart James Bullard said it's good news that markets are pricing in anticipated hikes, making it important that officials follow through and implement those increases to curb high inflation. And amid so many uncertainties, not even bright spots on the earnings front like Netflix and United Airlines Holdings were able to enthuse investors about a continuation of this week's broad market rally. One of the reasons is that going into the current season, estimates had already been cut to the bone. So frankly, beaking forecasts wouldn't be hard. Earnings are not allowing us to see that capitulation and resetting of 2023 earnings expectations yet, Morgan Stanley's Lisa Shallett said. It's not yet a clearing event that sets up for a durable, viable bottom in this market. Corporate profits in the S&P 500 are expected to show growth of just 2% in the third quarter, which is way, way below the 10% increase predicted by analysts back in June, according to recent data. That means company guidance will, as has always been, crucial for market sentiment, especially at the time of so much economic concerns weighing on stocks. And in another sign of economic jitters, a Bank of America survey showed 60% of chief investment officers want companies to use cash reserves to improve their balance sheet rather than opting for capital expenditures or stock buybacks. The economy will probably mostly slow in 2023, so companies have time to use still strong cash flow generation this year to shore up their balance sheets before a potential recession hits next year, wrote credit strategist Yuri Siegler. As the third quarter earnings season gets underway, a nightmare scenario for stock pickers is perhaps unfolding. The S&P 500's three-month realized correlation, a gauge of how closely the top-weighted stocks in the benchmark move relative to each other, is at its highest level since July 2020. As correlations rise, it becomes increasingly difficult for fund managers to outperform the broader market. For anyone attempting to catch a bottom in stocks, history shows that the last innings of bear markets typically inflict a lot of pain on stock investors. That means more turbulence may lie ahead, since the S&P 500's drop over the past 6 months looks tame when compared with the type of declines typically seen in the last half year of major equity downturns, at least according to Bespoke Investment Group. Oversold conditions coinciding with key support has recently underpinned a recovery in stocks, leaving many investors wondering if this will be another trick or a potential treat, said Craig Johnson, chief market technician at Piper Sandler. From our technical perspective, risk for another trick appears high, as there is insufficient evidence to confirm the equity market has fully capitulated. This does not eliminate the probability of a sizable relief rally leading into year-end, though. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.33%, the NASDAQ was down 0.85%, and the S&P 500 fell 0.67%. Big tech dragged the market low with Google and Microsoft leading the downside after the 10-year Treasury yield jumped to 14-year highs on bets the Federal Reserve is likely to persist with its aggressive rate hikes. Against persistent core inflation pressures, the Fed is on track to continue tightening at a faster pace than originally anticipated, Morgan Stanley said in the note, forecasting the Fed to hike rates by 75 basis points in November, 50 basis points in December, and 25 basis points in January. Sentiment on tech, however, was boosted somewhat by blowout results from Netflix, as the streaming giant reported third-quarter results that beat on both the top and bottom lines as subscriber growth resumed. Netflix added 2.4 million net subscribers and guided net adds of 4.5 million for the fourth quarter, prompting some on Wall Street to suggest that the company's trend of subscriber losses was over. Netflix was unownable when net adds turned negative. While there will always be ebbs and flows in the slate, it's now tough to see loss in future years, Wells Fargo said in the note. International Business Machines, IBM, reported quarterly results that beat on both the top and the bottom lines. Fears over slowing software spending, however, was eased somewhat after Adobe Systems reaffirmed its guidance for the third quarter, sending its shares up more than 2%. And consumer products giant Procter & Gamble climbed nearly 1% after its quarterly results beat on both the top and the bottom line, overshadowing lowered full-year revenue guidance amid a hit from a stronger dollar. Consumer discretionary stocks fell amid pressures from home builder stocks after the data that I mentioned above showed further signs of slowing in the housing market. So once again, I'm afraid it's the same old, same old. There is still plenty of evidence to suggest that markets are likely to go further south, though we probably will see further relief rallies in the process. Now, of course, the question is how protracted this will be and at what point the market is likely to turn properly. Well, hard to say. I think that we could be shooting towards the end of the year and still see slides. But then, of course, it does depend on what central banks are doing. The Fed doing 75 in the coming round could certainly mark your card quite well for what's going to happen early next year. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.